the Mom Genus Podcast. Two dental hygienists who became friends and later became moms, who understand the struggles, the joys, and the self-doubt of raising kids, staying sane, and working. Listen to our regular conversations about everything except the kitchen sink.
Welcome to the Mom Genus Podcast with Christy, Jasmine, and Karen. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Mom Genus Podcast. This is Jasmine.
This is Karen.
And I'm Michelle.
And listen, y'all. Woo! Y'all better put your kids to sleep. Okay? Put some headphones on or something.
Giggity, giggity.
We're going to be talking about sex today, and we've got an amazing expert. Sarah is a licensed professional counselor and AASECT certified sex therapist and sexuality educator. She's the real deal, y'all. She has a private practice located in Michigan where she works with individuals and couples struggling with relationship and sexual health issues via telehealth. In addition to her private practice, Sarah founded her education business, Simple Sex Education, which provides online workshops for parents to prepare themselves for starting and continuing discussions about sex and relationships with their kids. We need you. We appreciate you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I am so pumped to be here.
Man, you know what? Just as soon as you started saying thanks for having me, thanks for welcoming me or whatever, immediately that song, let's talk about sex, baby, let's talk about you and me, let's talk about all the things and the good things that made me,
let's talk about sex.
All right, tell us about how in the world did you start doing the work you do? Love it.
Love that question. And it's one of my favorites to answer. So I started doing counseling. I started doing art therapy. Actually, that was my specialization in graduate school. And it is not something I'm super passionate about art. Love that. But it's not something you can make money with. And going to grad school and then making no money is not a great thing. So after several different jobs, getting my full licensure, ended up getting laid off from an art therapy job, which I thought was my dream job and was not. Was talking to my best girlfriend, who I knew her mom was a social worker. And I was like, hey, does your mom know anybody who can get me a job? And she was like, oh, well, mom wants to talk to you. And come to find out, her mom, I just thought the whole time was a social worker, had actually started the sex therapy program at the University of Michigan. And after a little over two-hour conversation and literally a stack of 7 books to take home with me, she's like, you're going to do this program. You want to work with couples and enhance your skills, and you're really into talking to people about their relationships. You have to do sex therapy. Because it's the biggest component. It can be the biggest component of someone's relationship. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, that makes sense. So I did it. And through her mentorship and through that program, it changed my life. And now I get to sit and talk to couples and individuals all day long, like sometimes 9 hours a day talking about sexual health. So that's how I got there. And I love it.
Wow.
That's cool.
I was just saying, when people ask us like how we become dental hygienists,
you don't have a story like that.
What? A story like that?
Yeah, but I think, you know, it goes to say like to ask for help, right, can change your life, right? And that is exactly like literally being like, hey, does your mom know somebody? Like, not knowing that question and her taking that on, it changed my life completely. And in almost every way. So it's pretty,
and that's a vital lesson for any stage of your life that you're in. You know, when you're willing enough to actually put it out there, like it can really change the trajectory of your entire life.
Yeah.
In a really meaningful, impactful, and beautiful way.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so I love that you share that.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. I mean, I would love the small talk, but I just want to get to it, honestly.
Please. Let's do it.
Y'all, I could not wait to have Sarah. I'm just so happy she's here. I remember the first time when we met virtually and she told me what she did. I literally, if I was a cartoon, my mouth would just be open and the tongue would just lay out on the floor. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. So here are the questions.
All right, I'm ready. I'll do my best.
I keep hearing this stuff and seeing this stuff about Yanni. Okay, and so like there have been things where like it's supposed to clean out your yoni or whatever, and I was watching, this is so funny, I was watching this YouTube video, so they were talking about some man who's cheating on his wife. It's some relationship girl person. And their commercial was a yoni commercial.
I don't even know what yoni is.
She's going to tell us. So this is the commercial. You know, I was with this girl and I decided to go, you know, downtown and her yoni wasn't together. This is the commercial. And I'm like, what is this? So I just need to know, what is this craze with the yoni and what is these things that they put inside of the vaginal canal to clean out the, like, why is this all this craze? Like, what's going on?
This is like pre getting down.
This is cleaning out the area, the vaginal canal.
This is trash. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So let me tell you why it's trash. Okay. Your vagina, it cleans itself. Period. That's it. Done. There's like no other way to explain it. But what is amazing about being a female body person is that your vagina is self-cleaning. There is never ever a reason for you to stick anything else up there unless you're looking for pleasure and or you are utilizing something for your menstrual cycle. Like, it cleaned itself. And what we aren't taught, you know, as young people, is that your vagina, just like the rest of your body, is going to go through different types of smells because of what you've been doing. Or if you've been active that day, or if you've been sitting all day, or also depending on what you eat and your level of hydration, all of that's going to impact smells just like the rest of your body. But we've been taught by Yanni, what actually has been happening in the sex therapy and education world recently is Vagisil has been marketing to teenagers. We all about lost our minds because your vagina doesn't smell. I mean, if it has a scent, that's it's supposed to smell like that. So you don't need to stick anything up there to clean it ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, and they're putting these balls in there that have like all this gunk on it.
Yeah,
I don't know how
that's going to give you a yeast infection.
God, okay.
That's going to give you any kind of infection, right? Because those are the, okay. That's something you should like stick up your vagina in case, you know, like you got to take care of that. But anything in regards to like cleanliness, no, your vagina cleaned itself. You should clean your vulva, you know, the outer part of your body with a light soap maybe and water. That's it. Like, you don't need to be sticking anything up there. You don't need Vagisil. It's garbage. When I walk through the when I walk through the grocery store, I'm like, I just want to pull it all off of the shelf. It like makes me rage because you don't need it. We've been influenced by men and all the patriarchy.
Okay, so how do you appreciate your smell?
Ooh,
that was a good one.
That's like, because you know, like at the end of the day, it's like, so like, I know.
Hey.
Oh, hey, girl. You know, you down there? Okay.
Like, are we sitting cross-legged today, or can we open it up? Yeah. In the dental hygiene world, you gotta sit wide open.
Yeah, that's true, because you're like, and you're real close to people.
I'm hyper aware of any smell that's going on.
But like, just like animals, we have, there should be pheromones.
Yeah.
Isn't our scent something that drives our spouse crazy? Shouldn't it make them feel like, ooh, yeah, let's get it on? Like, isn't that biologically possible?
But it's not, pheromones you can't smell.
Oh.
That's not something like, so when we smell anything that seems different, right? Like not what you're used to, right? That's your body's way of cleaning it out. Whatever's happened, and there can be, and you have to think about too, like especially after exercise. Like I'm a super sweaty gal. Like I am dripping usually when I'm doing jumping jacks to get warmed up. So like that's going to change your body. And that, so if you're feeling a little funky, then, you know, go freshen up with a washcloth. But your pheromones aren't something that, it's just kind of like what comes out of your body. They're not scented.
Okay, so how can we appreciate our vajayjay more?
One is just accept the fact that you have been taught since you were able to comprehend as a young woman, probably a lot of misinformation, and saying, okay, I was influenced, imprinted, right? We all get influenced by the media and what has been taught to us and people that are around us. Most of that's been wrong and influenced by men. And they don't know much about vaginas and vulvas. And so we're going to take a seat back and say, okay.
Oh, yeah, you think they do.
I like to claim that they do.
But so I think it's just saying, okay, yeah, it's going to have different scents. My body is going to have different scents, and your vulva and your vagina is part of your body. So accept that. Know that you've been given the wrong information and you don't need to clean your vagina with a Yanni or Vagisil or any other kind of weird sprays or whatever else they're going to come out with, because it's going to keep happening. And also, it's really about self-acceptance and that we all have different scents, and that's cool. And that's how we were made.
I love that. And it's so empowering. Now, we're not telling you not to wash down there and take care of yourself.
No, we want you to.
Right?
We just don't want you to stick anything up there that's scented. You know, like that's just not good. It's actually gonna give you an infection.
All right. So let's pivot a little bit here.
Okay.
And of course, you know, Michelle, Karen, if you got anything else, you know, bring it up. But I'm eager. All right. So the next thing I would say that I feel was a real challenge for me as a mother was stepping into what is sexual intercourse after having kids.
Oof, yeah.
And what I have found is actually it has gotten so much better. Like what I was doing before kids is nothing compared to
how
it feels now after having kids, right?
I would agree with that.
The challenge is, though, I think mentally is the acceptance part of the physical changes that occur. So I kind of just want to talk a little bit about that and ways in which we can kind of embrace the physical changes. For me, I have friends who have no stretch marks on their stomachs. I got tiger stripes, y'all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
And that was a hard pill to swallow for me. And I still feel kind of nervous about even showing that part of my body. So I want to talk about that and, you know, how we can kind of reclaim our sexual power and have fun.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. I think it's such a, we could do like many podcast episodes on that alone, because it's such a powerful question and powerful thing for women to work through if you've had a baby and understanding what happens to your body. I think there's a whole lack of discussion with women about what's going to happen during pregnancy. And there's a giant gaping hole about what happens afterwards. Unless you have a really interesting social circle who is incredibly supportive and is like in your face, honest about things, you're not going to get that information.
No, I go to the internet.
Yeah. Well, and good Lord.
And even then it's kind of like, is this really what, that's why I'm asking you. Cause I don't talk like that with my friends.
Right. Right. And a lot of people don't. And that makes sense because again, I may sound like a broken record, but we all have been imprinted with such uneducated information and shame. There's so much shame around what happens to our bodies as women. We don't embrace it. It's like, oh, you shouldn't look like that. You should be a size 2 and you should always look like this. And this, you know, you should have abs and all of this. And you're like, what? Like, no, that's not my life. And that's okay, especially after babies, because It takes your body 18 months to recover.
Wow.
18 months. And they also, right. They're like, oh, you check in at 6 weeks and you get the go, right? Yes or no. If you can have sex, if you're, you know, in a partnership and you don't get checked upon 6 weeks later and 6 weeks later and 6 weeks later, unless something is wrong. Right. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, have fun. And you're like, I'm still wearing a diaper and I'm supposed to, you know, maybe if you had like significant bleeding or you're recovering from a C-section, your abs are not anywhere near your whole body is nowhere near what it was. And it really takes 18 months to get to some normalcy.
You're like perineal tears.
There's tear, like, yeah. Okay. So what, how many stitches did you have if you had to have stitches? Right. If you had a section, what's going on? If you had a traumatic, you know, labor and delivery, I did, and how that impacts you emotionally. And we're not talking about all of this. We're just like, oh, girl, baby comes out and you're good to go. Hell no. Right. Cause, and then also you're not sleeping, you know, that fourth trimester mm-hmm. is just a whole other ball game and we don't talk about it. Right. So to kind of get back to our, not back to, I say it because it's natural to say to get back to, but I think it's moving forward and accepting where you are and taking everything really slowly and communicating with your partner what feels good and what doesn't feel good. So if you are, you know, like, oh, I want to be close to my partner and I want to have some kind of erotic connection, but I can't even imagine having something inside of me right now, then it's getting creative about what feels good. What else makes you feel erotic? How much time do you have? Right. Cause if you're like real close to have, you know, if you're still having a little baby, like you probably don't have much time. Mm-hmm. So how can you create that connection? Erotic connection. And that's through communication, talking about what feels good, what doesn't feel good, what you're willing to do right now and asking for that. Right. So being powerful and knowing, hey, I know this feels good for me. Let's try that out and let's see what happens.
Oh, that's a good, like, kind of, you know, tiptoeing into that. Cause I can say, I think it was after my third baby, after my youngest, mm-hmm. I spent probably the better part of a year, like, not even being able to have a physical, intimate relationship with my husband. And God bless him. He was a very patient man, but I didn't have the desire. I didn't have the energy. I didn't even care if anything was even, nothing was flipping my switch. I was not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was very patient.
Yeah. That's pretty normal. Right. So I talked about 18 months for recovery for your body. It's also for your hormonal level to get back to your baseline is 18 months. And if you're breastfeeding, it's much longer until you stop breastfeeding. And then it takes I don't know the stats, honestly, from when you stop. I think it's probably, I want to say 6 months or even longer for your hormones to get back to baseline. So if your hormones are all over the place, you're probably not going to have space for eroticism. And that's okay. As long as you're communicating that to your partner, and we need to normalize that. Like most people, not all, because some women are like, let's go at like 8 weeks. Good for those people. That's awesome. But most people don't want to do that. Like, I need to figure out how to care for this human, even if you have other tiny humans, like you still have to get into the rhythm of what, you know, a family of five or a family of three. What does that look like? You know, so giving yourself space to just fall into this new place with your body, accept it, that it's a slow process. Don't rush it. Because if you rush it, you could hurt yourself.
So before we go on to the other end of the spectrum of dealing with when your kids are grown. Mm-hmm. A little bit, you know, they're walking around and they know when you put on H-Town, Knocking the Boots.
Right. Why do I keep hearing that song? Yeah. Okay, but anyway.
She says H-Town, Knocking Boots. I just heard that Luke Bryan song, Knocking Boots.
I know. I got mad that he named it that. Yeah. He should have named it that. That's like a classic. It has to stay H-Town.
So anyway, I appreciate you sharing that because I feel like having conversations like this are really, really important. Mm-hmm. Because when I've had my first one, I had a tear and it was very uncomfortable. It was like not a good experience, a birthing experience for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to my single friend, because that's all I had at that point.
Yeah.
Asking her what I should do because of my husband's needs.
Mm.
And I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. And her recommendation, even though it was loving, was, well, just take a warm bath and do this. And that wasn't helping me when I was dealing with a newborn. And I was just so overwhelmed. And I think what you shared, somebody out there is going to help. It's going to set someone up, someone free, because we need to hear that and understand that it's okay to take your time to get acclimated. It's not going to be a flipping of a switch.
Mm-mm.
And to talk in this way is really, really important and empowering.
Yeah. I would add to that too. And I say this for all stages of life, but especially after birth, and you're kind of getting back into, if you're into penetrative sex and that's what you're looking for, or even if it's digital stimulation, to use lubrication is your friend. Lube is going to make everything better. And I would highly suggest investing in higher quality lubrication. Don't get anything that has like weird additives in it, because that, like we were talking about before, and what you stick in your vagina, right? Like that can irritate it too. So use lubrication, especially if you're not, if you have some sensitivity or if you have scarring from stitches or anything, like lube is your friend. I literally have boxes of it behind me in my office. And when I was
Sarah's no joke. A friend you want to have. She's a friend you want to have. Okay.
Yeah.
Boxes like, when you come to dinner, you send you home with toothpaste.
What? Wait, Sarah, did you hear what she said?
No.
What did you just repeat say, Sarah? You gotta repeat that again for the people in the back.
Boxes of lube and a vibrator right behind me. So when you come to my office, you know, when I get to get back to normal, and before when we, you know, stopped telehealth or I started telehealth, I always in my waiting room have a bowl of lubrication. Like, here's the sample, try the stuff, because it's so much better to experience pleasure and not have pain, because sex isn't supposed to be painful. It's not supposed to hurt. You know, so if it's hurting, something's going on, and lube can like bring that down. Any kind of friction can create micro tears, and you don't want that. That's when it feels stingy, and that's not what we want, right?
We want to have moisture.
Moist.
I got to say it again, Jasmine.
Two episodes. I don't know how you did that. This one's appropriate. The other one, it was just so random.
I love that. There's a hand sanitizer in the dental world that's like sure is moist or something like that. Moisture sure. Who thought of that? I can't say who it is because they were like one of my sponsors. So
you better treat them right, Jasmine.
Yeah. I like that name. Moisturizing. The moist.
Karen's got a job advertising for them.
All they need is a voiceover of me saying moist.
It's perfect.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to this final leg here. We've got to talk at least about like how we can keep it spicy as our kids are older, and keep it, because our connection is so important. When the kids are grown, for those who are in relationships, when those kids are grown, who else you got?
Right.
It's just y'all. So like that connection and that time for the, you know, moisture. I don't know what to call it, but the, I don't know why a lot I'm doing
connection.
This.
Connection.
Ooh, a lot of connection.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Let's use the real words, right? Before they... you could tell I've been conditioned not to talk about this because I'm trying to find other words other than to say what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, like how what are like one or two things that we can do to kind of keep that alive? Because that connection is so important, and we have so much on our shoulders, virtual schooling and our life in general.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What are some things that you recommend?
Love that question. I think it's so, and again, it's going to seem really basic, but so many people don't do it, is to have a conversation, right? And saying, gosh, I have really been thinking about our erotic connection, if you will. And I, you know, whether you want more or whether you want to switch it up, is just making time to have that conversation outside of the bedroom. This is not a conversation you have right before you go to bed or right in the morning. It's something that you go for a walk if you're able, or you go outside and the kids are playing and they're distracted and you say, hey, listen, I've been thinking about these things and want to talk to you about it. And to keep it spicy, I love the idea of creating a yes, no, maybe list. So thinking about what feels really for yourself first, right? So what feels really good? What do you know that like really brings you pleasure? Because we're going for pleasure and we're not just shooting for an orgasm. Even though that's a bonus, like that's a really exciting bonus. But what feels really good? Sharing, hey, I know that when we do this or I do this or you do this, these things feel really, really good and like really turn me on or bring or really arousing. And then these things, you know, I'm kind of into them. I'm not really sure. Maybe we should explore that a little bit further. And then we, most of us all have some hard no's that we're not interested in. And to share that and say, hey, I've been thinking about that. This is what feels really good. Can we focus on that tonight or the next time that we have time together? Mm-hmm. And then also asking your partner for the same thing. What's their yes, no, maybe list? And that's just a way to keep it part of the conversation. And I think as you go through your lists, if you're really focused on that, then it's how do you want to explore together? You know, can you combine your maybe lists, or maybe there's something completely not even on either of your lists that you want to explore? And that can be like time of day. It can be where. It can be what you're wearing. It doesn't have to be these crazy scenarios unless you want that. But it doesn't have to be like a really significant shift. But it's just identifying what is pleasurable.
So you really got to make time for that.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, so, so being really busy, right? Like if you're raising children and you have a full-time job or you have a business, like this is hard. You have to take the time. But it can be as little as like sit with yourself for 10 minutes tonight and think about your yes, no, maybe. Find some time the next weekend to have a conversation with your partner about it. Hey, I've been thinking about this. What do you think? You sit with this. We'll come back to it. And then he or they could share for 10 minutes. And so it's not, hey, we need to carve out 2 hours to have this really serious talk. It's, I have desire. I want to talk to you about it. And you can do it in snippets.
That's way because more that's the way life budget is. Meeting. Pencil that in at the end of the budget meeting.
Yeah, let's talk about our budget and then what do you like? And
then,
yeah.
Tell me about your pleasure.
It's about placement.
That might be a hard shift, but you know, I mean, you could try it.
Hard shift. Sarah, I totally want to know if there's something that happens with age. So like, I feel like my husband and I, we went for a walk and had a conversation about sex. So it was good. It was validation for me that was good placement of that conversation. And I was telling him my sex drive is increasing. And he said that was his sex drive 10 years ago. And so now, I mean, we're 2 years difference. He's 2 years older than me, but that brought up to me, I was like, so what? Am I supposed to be with a guy 10 years older? I mean, he's who I'm with. He's who I want to have the sex with. So I'm sorry, 10 years younger.
I was like, hey, we're going all over the place.
Wait,
okay, let's
wait. My brain got excited. It went the opposite direction. But I was wondering, like, what do you do in that scenario? And I also have kids that are older and have later bedtimes and things like that. Yeah. And we don't have a split bedroom floor plan in our house and things like that.
Yeah. Well, that is true, right? Like, so that statistics, so the old stats are that men tend to peak, if you will, like in their late 20s, and then women tend to do late 30s before perimenopause hits. But current research is coming out saying that's kind of garbage.
Okay.
So really what we want to go to is thinking about what are your stress levels? Like, and you're saying you don't have a split level, you know, like you don't have separation from your kids. So how much is that influencing both of you? Like, oh, are they going to hear us? Like, maybe you're not consciously aware of that. What kind of stressors are going on? Are they virtual schooling right now? Because this year has been a show of garbage, right? I don't know if y'all swear on this because I like have a trucker mouth. So I'm trying to be careful here. But we have to think about what are the factors around us. So how well is your communication going? Sounds like you guys are working on that. What's the stress level? And then where are you with your own eroticism and like knowing that about yourself? And if they're not feeling it, if he's not feeling it, like, okay, tell me, then go back to that conversation I just suggested, right? What are you in? Like, what makes you feel good? Like, how can we focus on you for a little bit and then maybe take turns? And we're not going to all want to have sex every day. I don't. No, I don't. I don't want to. I don't have the energy and I'm not turned on every single day. It's just not happening. I own two businesses and I have an almost 4-year-old. So like not happening. And that's normal. Like we've been taught we should have sex all the time. No, but if you're hitting it like once a week, even once every 2 weeks and it's satisfying for you, that's what matters. So I would say, I would ask him, I would go back to him and be like, okay, you're not feeling it. Like, when do you feel it? Can you tell me? So then I know, and then you can make a decision based on that.
Okay. So we got to go for another walk tonight.
You got to go for another walk.
So I can figure out how my Saturday night will go. Got it.
Yeah. And try, I guess, and then you want to try, like, if you are kind of planning for a special night, like, I had heard from one person that, like, they'll start at the beginning of the day, like, just sending a loving text message or getting a little cheeky or, you know. Yeah. Having some fun that kind of like builds up the anticipation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. So you want to think about that sex starts. Like, so when you are finished, like you are both done, you're feeling good, pleasure has happened. And then you have to think about foreplay starts kind of right after. Like everything is going to then lead up to your next encounter together. So thinking about foreplay as, yes, the physical things that can happen between you right before, but then doing the dishes, helping with stuff around the house, whatever that may be, you know, that all like fills you up and you're like, oh, you put away the dishes? Thanks. Like that makes me feel, that's my thing is like, and his office is right next door. I'm like, I love when you take the dishes out of the dishwasher. I hate that chore so
that
much.
That is so sexy to me, right?
Yeah. Like, get it on. Like, that is so good. So you have to think about it that
and
way.
That's like, the what positive reinforcement they're looking for, too. They're like, yes.
They want to know. Yes. Yes. If you can, and if you can verbalize that, like, it really makes me feel connected to you or even turned on. If you do those things, they want to know those things.
I love that.
Yeah, I like that because you're talking about what.
I have to agree. Oh, go ahead, Michelle.
No, I was just saying I like that it's not like you're not what you're not doing. You know, like it's not that nagging kind of thing that can happen. It's like what you are doing is creating this in me, and so I like that a lot because they'll hear that better. I think
That's a whole mindset shift, really.
Yeah,
with looking at your relationship. I love that. And I have to agree with Michelle. I think I've heard from a couple of other women who have older men that it does flip. And they're wanting it more. And he's more like, oh, well, let's talk. And you're like, no, let's go.
Yeah. Well, I saw, that was 2 days ago. I'm like, what, are you even scoring your phone? What's going on?
It's an interesting shift, but then it's like, okay, it's identifying it, validate them, right? Validate that they are saying that. I'm like, okay, thank you for letting me know. I hear that. How can we make this work? Right? Like what, and then going into that conversation about what feels good. And also, you know, thinking about how you're defining sex. Like, are you only defining it as penetrative intercourse? That's real old school. Right? Like sex can be anything that brings you pleasure with your partner. Right? So maybe it's tipping into those other ideas of what makes you feel good together. Maybe he's more open to that right now, depending on his stress and all of the other things we talked about.
I like the list.
Yeah. I like that. I like it too. And I do appreciate Sarah really holding us accountable to being mature and not just walking up to our spouse and saying, just give me that eggplant.
You're like,
no, hey. Just tell me what you want. What are your needs? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Do I really care at this point?
Right. Right. Listen, I'm all about the maturity. and having the conversation, right? Because I know that that's going to last. It's going to help you sustain like a long-term loving relationship. But have you
really? I don't know if I feel like it though, Sarah. I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
Okay. But, you know, if you're feeling it, then they want to know when you're feeling it, right? So just be like, it's okay to them be like, hey, I'm thinking about you. Let's go upstairs. You can do that too. So it doesn't have to be one or the other. Depends on where you are. Okay. You know, like maybe 1 week you're like that. And the next week you're like, we need to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Totally fine. Right? Mm-hmm. So making it all come together.
Yes. Thank you for that permission. I appreciate that. Because normally I'm like, listen.
That doesn't have to go away. Yeah. Don't take that away. Let's just add into that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I love it. I love it. All right, Sarah, please let everyone know where they can find out more about the amazing work that you do.
Great. Thank you. So SarahWatsonLPC.com is my private practice website. SimpleSexEducation.com is the workshop. So that's offered to everyone that can sign up. I can only do therapy in Michigan. And then Instagram, I have a pretty robust Instagram. I really love interacting with people there. And so it's SWSX Therapy or Simple Sex Education on Instagram. And I post lots of fun articles and just things that, you know, light me up and that I think are helpful.
Awesome. Well, it's been such an honor. Thank you for the laughs. Thank you for the education. This has been such an amazing interview.
Oh, thanks for having me. You guys were awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review.
Like us on Facebook.
See you next time.